Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 47. We read the following. Psalm 47. To the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. O clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us, and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob whom he loved. Selah. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. Verse 5, God is gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. This is a wondrous psalm of victory and triumph. There is no mention of sorrow or of trouble here. There is no cry of the psalmist to the Lord when in trouble, as we see in so many psalms, and how comforting they are when you can read with the psalmist the experience and say, I've been where he is. I've been in trouble. I've been cast out. I've cried like he cried and I've been hurt. But here is a psalm of a different tone. Here is a psalm purely of praise, of victory, and of triumph. The overwhelming focus of this psalm is to set the attention of you and I and God's people on the great and the mighty power of God and his great triumph in salvation. O clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. God is victorious. God has wrought salvation. God has triumphed. Our God, our King, reigns over all. This is joyous. This is triumphant. And such triumph and such joy is born out of a great time, out of a long stretch of time of sorrow. When there is much battle, when there is much warfare, when you're cast down, when you struggle for so long, and then finally there's victory, then your heart rises up and shouts, and your hands clap, and you rejoice and praise in the victory. Sometimes it's hard in our peaceful days nationally to entirely see this, but if you think back to the sort of feeling that the country would have had at the end of the First World War or the end of the Second World War, the jubilation of the people there gives you something of the sense of jubilation of which the psalmist here speaks. After years of misery in the Second World War, when the day was announced that war was over, finally the struggle was at an end. Finally the battle was won. Finally the nation had triumphed over evil. Oh, the joy there was amongst all the people throughout all the country. To have this great cloud lifted from off your head, this great fear that reigned in the hearts of all the people in all the country, year after year, to have it finally removed and no longer be living a life where you don't know what a day will bring, when you don't know whether the bombs might fall, where you don't know whether you in your street might be amongst those who suffer and die, or you don't know whether your loved ones, your son, off on the battlefield, might fall in battle, and one day you might receive the dreadful letter that your son or your sons or your family members are dead. When all of that heartache, all of that tragedy, all of that fear, all the burden and the cloud of warfare is finally lifted and victory is announced. Oh, how the nation, oh, how the people rise up in joy, unbridled joy, relief, triumph. Well, that was experienced as a reality at the end of the Second World War. And similarly, at the end of the First World War and at other points when nations have been delivered out of great calamity, the people have rejoiced. But here the psalmist speaks to a people like that. Here is a people who have known what it is to be oppressed, who've known what it is to be burdened, and then they are released. The battle is won. The triumph is over. Israel of old as a nation knew this. The psalmist speaks to a people in a physical sense. They knew what it was to be at war. They knew what it was to have enemies. And they knew what it was for their Lord and their God to deliver them from their enemies. Delivered out of Egypt, led by Moses through the wilderness for 40 years. Finally, Joshua leads them into the land that was promised unto them. And in that land, they face many people. There were giants in the land. There were nations who could rip them to pieces. They were outnumbered. And yet, God had promised them victory. Yet, humanly speaking, they'd have looked. They sent the spies in. They went into the land and they spied out that land. And they saw who stood before them. And humanly speaking, they'd have feared. But their trust wasn't in themselves, in their own might, in their own ability, in their own numbers. They looked unto their God for help, and he delivered them from all their enemies. How we read of Joshua at Jericho. The spies had gone in, they'd spied out this great city, this walled city, this impenetrable city. How do you take a city surrounded by thick walls? Tactically, militarily, it was impossible. They couldn't take Jericho. And yet God promised it to them. And God said, you're going to do this. You're going to march around this city. You're going to carry the Ark of the Covenant. The priests are going to go before you. They're going to blow the ram's horns. And you're going to march silently. You're not going to say a word. You're not going to do a thing. You're going to march around this city silently. You're not going to do a thing. There's going to be the sound of the ram's horns, and that's it. And they might have thought, well, if we do that, and if we march around this city, all of us, hundreds of thousands of Jews, marching around this city, we're sitting ducks. Those people in Jericho will see us and they'll fire their bows at us. They'll pick us off. We'll be slain in days. Humanly speaking, they could have doubted this. But the Lord said, do this. And Joshua commanded the people, and they did as Joshua commanded. They followed him. They followed his advice. They followed his word. And they walked around the city silently. And they did this for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, they did as commanded. They went round the city 7 times. And the priest led them and blew the ram's horns. And then on the seventh, after the seventh circuit, they shouted, and the wall of the city fell down flat. And God gave them the victory. And they took the city and they destroyed the city and they delivered only those that God had promised to save. Rahab, the harlot, and her household, who had heard the spies, who had hidden the messengers of God and delivered them. He saved them. And he wrought a great victory. And when they were commanded, they shouted. They shouted at the victory. Now this is a figure of the gospel. And this psalm shows us the great triumph of the gospel. Because what Jericho tells us, and what this psalm tells us, and what all the triumphs of God tell us, is that there is a great enemy that we have before us that we cannot defeat. A great enemy called sin and death. A great enemy called the law of God, which condemns our sin and demands our death. We have great enemies, and we have no means of defeating those enemies. And years go by, and we know the warfare with those enemies. We know the victories that sin claims over us. We know the sting of death upon our souls. We know the accusations of the law of God, which find fault in everything we do and say and think. We know we're guilty, and we're losing, and we're sinking, and we're dying, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. The warfare goes on, the years go by, and it's desperate. We're losing. We're dying. It's just a matter of time. Every day you live, you sin. Every day you live, you're dying. Every day that goes by is just the passing of time until the last day comes. And then it's too late. Then you stand before Almighty God. And you have all this sin upon your hands. Guilty hands, blood-stained hands. What have you done? Where has he found you? Red-handed. What are you going to say? What are you going to answer? No longer is death approaching. It's caught up. No longer are your sins multiplying. They're a huge burden that condemn you. No longer can you answer the law back and seek to justify yourself and find every excuse and blame everybody else. Now the Lord's condemnation stands before you, all written down. And the God, the judge of all the earth, sits before you to execute his penalty, to read out the sentence. It says here that you on this day did this. Guilty. It says here that you on this day fought this. Guilty. It says here that you on this day failed to do this righteous deed. Guilty. It says here that you never sought God. Guilty. It says that you never worshipped him as you should. Guilty. It says that you went astray seeking your own things. Guilty. And so the list goes on. Charge after charge after charge after charge. Guilty, 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 guilty. Then he says, what is the sentence for a guilty sinner who's failed to live as they should before me, who's failed to worship God as they should, who never cared, who switched off, who ran away, who heard the gospel and said, for another day, who shut their ears when I spake unto them, who shut their minds when I sent a messenger unto them, warning them. I sent my messenger into their city. There you were in your Jericho, There you were in your walled city. There you were, safe and sound. Eating, drinking, being merry. There you were. God couldn't touch you. You were safe in your walled city. And one day he sent some messengers who came into your city. Some spies. They came from God. They came from God's people. He sent them over and they came unto you. They came into your city. They came into you. They came unto you with his message. They came unto you with the message of the gospel. They came unto you with the message of God's grace. And what did you do? Did you, like the people of Jericho, say, send those men here and we'll do what we will with them. We'll rip them to shreds. Were you filled with enmity and hatred against this message from God? Did you say, this is nonsense? The gospel's nonsense. The message of Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, it's nonsense. I will not believe. Did you seek to put the message out of sight? Did you seek to put the messengers to death? Or did you, like Rahab, receive the messengers into your house? Did you take their message into your heart? Did you say, these men have come from God? I've heard of you. I've heard of your people. I've heard of your God. I've heard what he's done. Did you receive them? Did you hear the gospel and say, that's true? Rahab received the messengers. If God has sent his message to you, and you've trodden it underfoot, you've ripped the messengers to shreds, as it were, in your heart, you've despised their message, then when the trumpet is sounded, when the people of God walk around your city for the final time and the trumpet sounded and the wall of your city comes crashing down as time is replaced by eternity, and Joshua comes before you and stands in front of you, will he destroy you for the wicked sinner that you are? Or will he say, here's a Rahab. Deliver her. She received my messenger. Her heart was opened. She's a child of grace. She's mine. Deliver this one. Where are you? Where are you? The people of God, as they circuited Jericho for the seventh time, having been told to remain silent, were told at that point, shout, for the Lord has given you victory. Shout with the voice of triumph. Before then, they did nothing, because it was not their voice which would bring the victory. It was not what they did that would bring this triumph. They were to do nothing. They simply followed the priests. They heard the sound of the ram's horns being blown. They heard the sound of the gospel. And they followed the sound of the gospel. They did nothing. But when God gave them the victory, then they shouted, then they praised. The psalm opens. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Oh, clap your hands. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Now. Now shout. Now clap. What sort of clapping is this? This is not the clapping of, as it were, the charismatic clapping to the music of this world in rhythm and calling it worship. This is not that sort of clapping. This is applause. This is like clapping of the hands when something wonderful has just taken place. Like an audience might give applause to some tremendous performance. Or like the people might have clapped at the end of the Second World War when they shouted, when they rejoiced. They may have clapped also. This is a clapping of applause. This is a triumph. Oh, clap your hands. Now's the time to recognize the triumph. It's the applause of the people to the triumph of God in salvation. It's celebration, victory, triumph. This is a psalm of triumph. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. There was a time to be silent, a time to be still, a time to do nothing but wait on God. But now is the time to rejoice in what God has done. Now clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Why? Because in verse 2, the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. Selah. There's a reason to clap your hands. There's a reason to shout unto God with the voice of triumph. The Lord Most High is terrible. He's a great king over all the earth. Jericho cannot stand in his way. No nation upon this earth can stand in his way. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob whom he loved. Do you look around in the world today? Do you see the might of men? The multitudes of men that rail against the gospel. Do you see how the thinking of the world today, the thinking which is proclaimed as being right, the thinking which takes over all men's thoughts as being the right path for modern man to walk in. Do you see how that thinking is so set against God, his righteousness, his ways and his gospel? Man says, give us our freedom to live like this. Man says, give us our freedom to be equal in every way that we choose. Man says, let us live and let live. Man says, let us have the right to live and to die. Let us choose when we live and choose when we die. Let us choose which children are born and which children are not born. Let us choose when we go from this world or when we don't go from this world. Give us the freedom to control all these things. And the thinking of men, which they say is righteous, which they say is tolerant, which they say is loving, which they say promotes diversity and equality, rails against the righteousness of God. Their mercy, their love, their tolerance has no space for the people of God. The people in Jericho, when the messengers were sent in, when God's spies went into that city with the gospel, would have done heinous things to those men. And the people of the Jericho of this world do the same thing. They say they promote equality when they hate the people of God. They say respect all. Respect our diversity when they have no time for the people of God and his ways. They will stamp them underfoot. They will put them out. They will say that they are evil. That is the world you live in. That is the world we live in. There is a great multitude, a great sweeping of the nations with a thought and a mindset which at its root is set against God. It has ideals of humanity in which God does not exist. And having removed God from man's thinking, having removed his righteousness from his thinking, they will set up their own rules, their own ways, their own righteousness. And they proclaim it. They say, this is the way to walk. And any that won't walk their way is cast out and is set up as evil. You see this today in current affairs all around this world, what movement and polarity there is. But it is set against the righteousness of God. And if you were to look merely at it from a human point of view, you would fear. Because there are many of them. And they are mighty. And they have all the means to proclaim and enforce their message. They rule the media. They rule the governments. They rule the internet. They rule technology. They rule. They have all the weapons in their hands to enforce their message and their ways upon all people. And the people of God would be crushed under their feet if it wasn't for the simple fact that there is a God. And that the God who is actually over all is terrible. And the God who is over all the earth is not their God, but Almighty God. There is a prince that they worship. There is a God of this world who has great influence. Influence in their hearts, influence in the events of the nations. But there's a God, Almighty God, over him. Over the devil. Over Satan. Over that great dragon. He is a puppet in God's hands. Almighty God rules over all. His truth stands. His people are delivered in Christ their Saviour. And he chooses their inheritance. So however mighty the Jericho of this world might appear, however strong the walls might seem, however impenetrable it might appear, however hopeless the battle might be, O child of God, just walk around silently behind the priests who sound the ram's horns. As the gospel goes forth before you, follow silently from the seventh day on the seventh circuit when Joshua commands, you will shout and the walls will fall flat. And O people of Jericho, you hear. Hear the warning. Hear the message of the spies. Be it known that on the seventh day, your city will be taken away. And what you think stands, what you think you are building that is so everlasting, so eternal, so mighty, so influential, the walls will fall flat. And there will be nothing left. Your city and all that is in it, all you who dwell in it, will be burnt with fire. There will be nothing left. You will not stand. You will not stand unless you hear the message of the spies. Message of God's messengers. Unless you listen and hear the gospel. Unless those messengers are taken into your heart, unless their message comes into your heart, unless God says, you, my Rahab, I will deliver, unless you are named of God and caused to understand and delivered, you will not stand. Clap your hands, O people of God. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Because thirdly, God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Why is God gone up with a shout? When did he go up with the sound of a trumpet? When he in Christ delivered his people from their sins. When Christ, Joshua, God's son, God's saviour, came down into the valley of this world and led his people across the rivers into a promised land, unto a Jericho, and wrought a victory for them. When Joshua went before, when Joshua walked in the midst of the people, when Joshua laid down his life for his people, when Joshua suffered, when Joshua took all their sins upon him, as they followed in silence, when Joshua washed that people with his own blood, when Joshua took his blood and poured it upon the mercy seat, when Joshua took all the words of the law as written upon the tablets of stone, as put in the Ark of the Covenant, and took it, and took its condemnation against the sins of his people, and took it upon himself, when the Ark of the Covenant was led around the city, and the condemnation of the law against the people was out of sight, hidden away in the ark, hidden away in Christ. When he took away the condemnation, when he took away the judgment, when he took away the sin, when he took away the death, when he took away hell, when he took away every enemy, when he made the walls of Jericho fall flat, when he was laid in a grave in the place of his people, when they who were dead looked and saw their Saviour, their Joshua, laid down dead in their place, and when they who were dead looked and saw as that Joshua laid in the grave with the stone over the tomb, on the third day rose up, when they looked and they came and they saw that the stone of the tomb was rolled away and their Joshua was no longer in the tomb but was risen, then they knew that the grave could not hold him, that sin was no more, that death was conquered, and that they in him had risen, had gone up, and would live forevermore. Then they discover, as faith lets them behold, a Saviour crucified, a Saviour risen, a Saviour ascended, a Saviour victorious. Then they behold, then they know that their God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Then, having circuited the city for 6 days and heard the priest blowing the horn of the gospel, on the seventh day after the seventh circuit, when the horns of the gospel are blown, then they shout, for their God is gone up with a shout. The Lord has gone up with the sound of a trumpet. They heard the trumpets blast. They heard the ram's horns blast. They shout, for God has given them the victory. Then they're no longer captive. They're no longer the ones in the grave. They're no longer the ones entombed. They're no longer the ones buried. But they're delivered. They're free. They're saved. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Have you been here? Have you been in the grave? Has sin buried you? Have your sins buried you? Have you felt yourself to be dead? Sentenced, buried, captive? And having seen Christ, having seen him on the cross in your place, having seen your sins upon him, having seen his blood shed and washing you, having had the Spirit come with his blood and sprinkle it upon your heart, sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, having seen that Ark of the Covenant taken away your sins, the law out of sight, the blood sprinkled upon, having seen this, having heard it, having had the Spirit bring it to you, do you then, in praise and adulation, shout, because your Lord has gone up with a shout. Oh, how we saw this in Joshua. We see it elsewhere. David in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 4. How many times Israel were given the victory over the Philistines? Again, they went with the Ark of the Covenant in their midst. Again, the Lord gave them a victory. 1 Samuel 4:5 we read, "And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again." Oh, has the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord come into your camp? Has it made you shout? Has he given you the victory? Again, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 15. "So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Whenever the Ark of the Lord is in the midst of the people, whenever Christ is in their midst, whenever the law is seen to be taken away, answered, and the blood sprinkled upon the mercy seat is set before them, they shout. There's a sound of a trumpet. They rejoice." Joshua commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout." So the Ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it. And the people followed. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose up early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord have given you the city." Oh, have the priests blown with the trumpets? Have you heard the gospel? Have you heard Christ in the gospel say unto you, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the victory"? Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord have given you the city." Has Joshua said unto you, "Shout"? Has he given you the city? Has he come unto you like a Rahab? Have you heard the messengers? Have you received their message? Have you praised? Have you sung? Have you clapped your hands? Fourthly, we read in verse 6 of the psalm, "Sing praises to God." Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding." Oh, how joyous is this exhortation. Sing praises, sing praises, sing praises, sing praises. "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding." Four times and then a fifth with understanding. Praise God. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding." With understanding. You'll never sing true praise unto God. You'll never rightly clap your hands. And you'll never rightly shout with the voice of triumph until you can sing with understanding. And the understanding comes through the gospel. And through the God that opens the understanding to hear the gospel, to hear of a Christ, to hear of a Saviour who took away the sins of his people, who took away the sins of a chosen people, a chosen Rahab, a chosen harlot, a chosen sinner, those that God would save, not those who chose themselves. not those who worked, not those who chatted and talked as they walked around Jericho when Joshua said, "Be silent." Not those who shouted in triumph at the things that they did. Not those who boasted unto men of what they had done or what they will do. Not those who blew the trumpet when God said, "Be silent." Not those who worked out their own salvation, who worked to earn their own favour with God, who saw themselves as something better than others. Not the Pharisees that stood on the street corner to be seen of men. "Look what I have done." But those who cry out only, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." Those who, when they're in the presence of God, in the presence of Joshua, are silent when he says, "Be silent." Those who can't say anything of what they've done, because everything they've done they know to be wretched. Those who know that all they can bring before God is their sin. Those who have no price to pay because all they've got is nothing. The prophet says, "Come, come ye buy and eat, all ye that have no money." Have you got no money? Nothing you can bring unto God? No works that you can bring before him in which you can take any pride? Do you honestly look at yourself and say, "Well, I've done nothing that God should be pleased with me. All I've done for God is hate him, is oppose him, is reject him, is bury my head in my knees, is turn away, is bury my head in the sand, is despise his truth. All I've done is to not believe, is to say, I can't believe that. I can't see it, I can't understand it, I can't comprehend it." That's all you've done. Well, if that's the way you are, that's the sort of person God saves. Brought to nothing, blind, hopeless, foolish, with nothing to pay, he comes unto them in his gospel. He sends his priests to blow the trumpet. And when they hear, their understanding's opened. When they hear a Joshua that says, "Go round the city for 6 days, one circuit each day. Follow the priests. The Ark of the Covenant will be carried in your midst. The priests will blow the trumpets of ram's horns. Joshua will be there. Go round. Don't shout. Don't talk. Be silent." And their understanding's opened. They hear what he says. They know why he says it. They know what he's doing. On the seventh day, they follow 7 times. And at the end, he says, "Shout, for I've given you the city." And they shout. "As he said unto you, I've given you the city. I've given you the city. I've given you salvation. I've given you New Jerusalem. I've given you my city. I've given you mine inheritance. I've given you salvation. I've given you righteousness in Jesus Christ alone. I've given you all the riches of the heavenly kingdom to come, all the riches of God in Christ. I've given you the city." Has he said it to you? Do you understand what that means? Do you understand that in Christ you have all things? When all the people in this world, all the people in the Jericho below, with their great walled city and all their wealth and all their pleasure, they've got nothing. There's a day fast approaching when the seventh trump will sound and their walls will fall flat and they'll be burnt to nothing. They've got nothing. Do you understand? If you understand that, and you understand the great riches that are found in Christ and Christ alone, then you will sing praises to God. You will sing praises. You will sing praises unto our King. You will sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, and you will sing praises with understanding, with faith, in truth. Those who worship God worship him in spirit and in truth. And when they clap their hands and shout, it's applause. It's the applause of the heart of faith, rejoicing and praising God their Saviour. It's not the foolish, emotional nonsense of the religious who try to work things up and try to bring about that which they have never had, that which they've got no right to, that which is not theirs. This is the praise of understanding, the praise of faith, the praise of the Rahab who's delivered, having had nothing, having done nothing but been a wretched sinner, and yet she heard the message from the messengers. She received them, and God delivered her. Has he delivered you? Has he delivered you? If he has, then you will know, with the psalmist, with Rahab, with the people of Israel, you will know that God reigneth over the heathen. He sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God, and he is greatly exalted. If he's done this for you, you'll know he reigns. He reigns today. He reigns at this hour. And everything in this world is nothing, because it's just a Jericho. It's full of foolish sinners who think they're safe, but in a moment the walls will fall flat, and those who are truly safe will be God's people who walk with Joshua, who are silent before him, who listen to the sound of the ram's horns and the trumpets, who follow their Saviour and follow the ark in the midst. Those are the ones who are saved, with the Rahabs, the sinners, who receive the message from the messengers. Has God sent messengers over the walls of your city into where you dwell? Has he brought the message to you? Are you seeking to put those messengers to death with all those in Jericho who met their destruction? Or have you received them? Have you delivered them? Have you taken their message in your heart? Are you waiting patiently for the salvation of the Lord? For if you do, when it comes, you with his people will clap your hands and you will shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Amen.